Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the All Things New podcast. Give me low and I'm out of touch. Jehovah God, Lord Yahweh, that you are a God who saves. And you, Lord, you paved the way. Today's episode is going to be revolving around finding purpose in the pain. Because, child, y'all already know. The amount of warfare that's been going on. I just made a podcast episode about wrestling with God. And in the midst of that wrestling, God showed me that I was actually suffering and enduring pain incorrectly. Not necessarily the wrestling part, because that sometimes is essential. But I realized that I was doing a lot more complaining and not enough praising. Which is funny, because the episode before that was all about worshiping while you wait. And I just did not take the advice of the Holy Spirit. Don't be like me. But glory be to God, because in the midst of this season I find myself in now, with the increase of warfare, with the increase of just chaos going on in the outside world, whether it be what you're seeing in media or just in your own life, with the enemy literally using anybody he can to discourage you, God has been showing me how to find purpose in the pain. Because when you follow Jesus, suffering is inevitable. Suffering is going to take place even if you don't follow Jesus, because it's a result of the fall. Now, we're just going to get into the basis of everything using scripture, testimonies, you know how it goes. But we're also going to get into how to suffer correctly, why we go through suffering, and just answer a bunch of questions along the way, of course, using scripture to back it up. But all glory goes to God in all honesty and in truth that I'm able just to be here and talk about this, because I know that it's going to edify at least one person. And that's all that matters. So let's get into it. The Lord gave me the word purpose in pain. And I guess you could say the subtitle of that would be, if not you, then who? If you guys tuned into my live that I did today, which today is Friday, I talked a lot about if not you, then who? And we'll get into that a little bit later. But just have that in the back of your mind as we go through these scriptures, talking about suffering, talking about enduring pain, and how to find purpose in the midst of our pain. All right, so we know that suffering is inevitable when following Christ. There is nothing you can do to avoid suffering in this life, period. Even if you don't follow Christ, you are going to go through suffering. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We know that because of Adam's choice to eat the fruit, we, the rest of the human body, has to go through this struggle with sin and suffering, because it is a consequence of sin and rebellion against God. That's essentially what suffering is. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 reads, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, suffering can be a result of a number of things. The first one, as I just mentioned, is just the state of the world. We live in a fallen world because of Adam and Eve's decision to eat the fruit. Then, this one really grinds my gears. People, and I can't even judge though, because I've definitely been there. When people say that they are going through spiritual warfare, whole time they're just dealing with the consequences of their actions. Like, you are not going through spiritual warfare. You just chose to go do that sin, and now you are reaping what you've sowed. God will not be mocked. That's in Galatians, I think. But yeah, God won't be mocked. So ultimately, you're going to reap what you've been sowing. And so a lot of people be like, oh, the spiritual warfare has been so heavy. It's like, dude, no, that's not spiritual warfare. You just chose to go do that sin, and now you have to deal with the consequences. But as a result, suffering can come from that. Then there's the spiritual warfare aspect. You know that when you follow God, the enemy is going to be after you more than ever, because he wants you to run away from your calling. He wants you to run away from the Lord and run to the world. But we're not there anymore. We don't do that anymore. As a result, we're going to suffer because there's that constant battle between our flesh and our spirit. And the suffering is never going to stop, unfortunately, until we see Jesus in heaven in our glorified bodies. Because in this body, shout out to Adam, we are going to go through suffering just because of the state of the world. Oh, also, we have to die to our flesh every day. So our flesh is it's constantly going to be suffering. Because we're not doing the things that our flesh would like to do. So as I was writing down this podcast regarding around finding, you know, your purpose in the midst of pain, I looked up the definition of suffering, because suffering is a word often used when describing what Jesus went through when he was, you know, on the cross and he suffered for our sins. And the definition of suffering is the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. I also looked it up in Hebrew, and the Hebrew word is sevel. I'm probably saying that wrong, not too much. But It's actually only seen once in the Tanakh, and it's found in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 28. But in that scenario, or in that scripture, it's defined to be labor. And we know that labor is work. So this is going to lead into the next point. So when you choose to follow Christ, suffering is inevitable because you have to choose on the daily to work for your faith. I am not talking about salvation before y'all jump down my neck and bring me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. I'll actually read that for y'all because I know somebody in the comments is going to be like, we're saved by grace through faith. I'm not saying we're not, but I'm going to break it down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 read, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So we know that Jesus paid the price for salvation. However, there is a cost to being anointed. There is a cost to choosing Jesus in this life. Because again, our flesh is never going to be satisfied because we're going against the nature of our flesh. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20 read, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yet a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Literally. The devil believes, the demons believe, but they don't live for Christ. The same way people be like, oh no, I love Jesus, but I don't do A, B, C, D. I don't agree with this and this and this in the Bible. It's like, that's like saying you love somebody and you just consistently cheat on them. Your actions don't prove it. And Hebrews 11 is a great example. We're not going to get into that because we'll be here all day. I already know this episode's going to be a little bit longer, but it's going to be a gem. So I'm not complaining. But Hebrews 11 goes into detail about the fathers of faith. Like, listen, if Abraham never followed through with his faith and brought Isaac up unto there, he would have never received that blessing. If Noah never built that ark, he would be drowning. There would be no more civilization. There would be no more humans. And so there's a number of characters of biblical people that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 that actually exemplify them working out their faith, which is why faith without works is dead. Literally Noah. Faith without works is dead. Noah would be dead if he didn't follow through with his faith. And so as much as we are saved by grace, it's through faith. And it's by God's grace. The reason why it says it's all God is because it's by God's grace that we are able to live righteously now. Because we know that when we tried it on our own, before Jesus died, resurrected, before the power of the Holy Spirit came upon us humans were unable to fulfill the law. It was impossible. We had to keep going to the temple to give sacrifices unto God to show that we were really sorry. But now, shout out Jesus. I love Jesus. I love him. He's amazing. Because of him, now we can repent and confess in the name of Jesus that we are sorry and that we turn away from sin and that we are living a righteous lifestyle. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the strength to resist the devil and say no to our flesh. And that's why it's by God's grace, because that's God's grace on our life that we are able to now operate through faith, which is the works that follow. Do y'all follow? I hope y'all follow. When I first came to the faith, I'm not even gonna lie to y'all, like, I didn't understand it. Like, I felt like the Bible contradicted itself. But the more you get in depth of the word and then the Holy Spirit guides you, and then you read in context, it all makes sense and it ultimately all aligns. So thank you, Jesus, for your knowledge, your revelation, and your wisdom, because you are just good. It is by God's grace, strength, and mercy that we are able to resist the enemy, the temptations of our flesh, and live by the Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verses 20 through 21 read, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. If we separate that scripture, it can lead to this. It basically saying sin equals death, okay? And because of Adam, that was what we were looking at. But it says grace equals righteousness equals eternal life through Jesus. It's Jesus, which is the grace, and that we have the power in order to live in righteousness and be on our way to sanctification. But sanctification is a process, and it is a hard and long one. But God is good, and he is loyal, and he is faithful. So it is work and suffering in our fleshly bodies consistently when we choose Jesus. So if we flip all the way back to the fall, because again, everything relates back to the fall, and we go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 19. I've talked about this on a Zoom Bible study, and I've talked about this on live, but this scripture is just, it's key. It reads, mind you, little backstory. This is after the fall with Adam and Eve, and God is now giving Adam the punishment, or man the punishment. And it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." This literally answers the question of how long are we going through this? People ask me, like, how long am I going to suffer? How long do I have to go through this? This is the answer. Every time you choose Jesus, every day you have to choose Jesus. It's a constant choice. Love is a choice. But we're not going to be done until we're dead in these bodies. Take this in. It says, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread." Sweat embodies what? Sweat embodies laboring, work. Like when you're working out, you sweat. If you're doing a hard job, you're most likely going to sweat because your body is putting in that work, that effort, right? It says, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread." Who is the bread of life? Jesus Christ. Alongside, and I actually got this from an old sister. She had said this and I was like, yo, that's so true. She talked about how back then when they were getting manna from the sky, they couldn't save the manna for the next day, which is the same way you cannot be a Sunday Christian and think that's going to carry you throughout the week. You have to get in your word every single day. There was actually this TikTok video. I think his name's Isaiah Robin. I think that's his last name. But yeah, Brother Isaiah posted this video and I totally felt what he was talking about. He was like, we're at a point in our walks, we're at a point in time where if you don't spend your own designated time with Jesus, you're going to feel paranoid. You're going to feel anxious. You're going to feel all these things because the enemy's prowling around like an angry lion looking at whom he can devour. And if you don't spend the time with Jesus and you don't feed yourself and you don't take from the breath of life and you don't drink from the living water every single day, your spirit is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker, meaning that the enemy is going to have easier access unto you. And so, yeah, you can't save the bread of life for the next day. You got to continuously eat from it. Every day we have to take our daily bread, but it requires work in our body because in order to feed our spirit, we have to tell our fleshly body to do things that go against its very nature. And so it's going to require work. It's going to require labor. It's going to require suffering because our bodies, our fleshly bodies, ultimately don't want to do what we're telling it to do. But that's why we have to tell our flesh to just subdue unto the spirit. And by the power and grace given unto us by God, we have the strength only through Jesus Christ to be like, look, this is what's going on. We just tell our body, look, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're doing. And then we also know the famous scripture in Romans 7 when Paul is describing how, you know, he's dealing with this battle between his flesh and the spirit, how he's doing things that he doesn't desire to do, but his flesh wants to do it. And then on the other hand, the things that he wants to do, he doesn't want to do. It's like this tug of war between your flesh and your spirit that's going to be constantly going on until we reach the state of our glorified bodies when Jesus comes back and gifts us with those. When you choose Jesus, you are not only partaking in the cup of his blood, but you are also partaking in the cup of his suffering. Mark chapter 10 verse 38 reads, "But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Because a lot of the times we'd be praying for things like I want to be more like Jesus, or God, make me closer to you, or I want to be the closest to you that I've ever been, not realizing that a lot of the time the suffering that we endure, the pain that we deal with, is actually us living in an answered prayer. And sometimes we don't understand the weight of our prayers. And that's why Jesus goes like, you don't even know what you're asking for, because this walk is not easy. It's not. It's a narrow path. But I also think it's really interesting, going back to kind of the sweat scripture from Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 about the labor. Notice how Jesus, when he was praying unto God because he was just so distraught about what he was about to go through, he actually sweats blood. Which kind of just backs up the point, like, when you choose to be a laborer for Christ, right? What's that scripture where it's like, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? When you choose to labor for Christ, you're not only partaking in his blood, but you're also partaking in the sacrifice and the suffering that he also had to go through. So the more you ask to become like Jesus, the more suffering you're going to have to endure. We have to understand that it's a part of our walks. There's no way to escape it. There's literally nowhere to escape it. And say you like are like, you know what, I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to walk with Jesus anymore. You're still going to go through suffering in this life. Like, just because you walk with Jesus doesn't make you void of suffering. But in the world, you're also not void of suffering. I think that when you just start to walk with Jesus, you're just now more knowledgeable. You now have the revelation. You now have the wisdom. And you have the strength to endure. But it's not by your strength. It's by Jesus. It's also in the fire that God is glorified. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If they never went into the fire, the king would have never saw the fourth person or the fourth man that looked like the Son of God up in there. He threw three people in there and there was four people in the fire. And he was like, what's going on? The whole time that had to happen in order for God to be glorified and for everybody around them to know that God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13 read, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The fact that we go through all these pains and trials and sufferings is actually a testament that we are really walking this thing out with Jesus. Not only are we going to partake in the sufferings that Christ went through, but we're also going to partake in his glory. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10 read, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, it says, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Suffering teaches us obedience. Suffering teaches us how to remain obedient unto God, even if we want to go smoke to take the edge off, have a drink in order to ease our mind. God wants us to run to him so that he can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. He can show us, hey, you are not going through this in vain. It's actually molding you, and it's also going to help other people. Your testimony, that test is going to become a testimony. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 reads, For even hereunto, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. We know that Christ is the example, but oftentimes we forget that the same way we're mimicking Jesus in everything that we do, our lives are also going to mimic the betrayals, the sufferings, the not so fun things, the persecution. Child, the persecution is it's a whole other story. And the betrayals are going to come from people close to you, because people that are not close to you can't betray you because you didn't really care for them in the first place. That's a whole other podcast episode. But in reality, we have to go through pain in order to get a better understanding of who God is. Because it's honestly a blessing to be gracefully broken. And I say that all the time, but it's true. It means God counts you so valuable that he can't let you enjoy this world without him, because you see people all the time in the world that are enjoying their sin. And they don't have a desire or need to look or want God because they are their own God. Whereas us, when we go through suffering, it just shows how much God sees us as one of his gems. Because he's like, no, I need them to know that this world is not for them. They are not of this world, and they ultimately need me. And so it's actually by his grace that we are broken to the point that this world cannot give us the satisfaction that we desire. And that's why, child, for those of you guys, because I know somebody on here going through a breakup after coming to Christ, that's God's grace. It really is. And I had to go, y'all know my testimony. We don't even got to go there. David actually says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 71, he says, It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Through his affliction, he was able to understand and grasp God in a better light and understanding. And I say this all the time, but I know y'all have heard that saying where it's like, God can't show you he's a healer unless you need healing. God can't show you he's a provider unless you need something provided for. That line, God needs to take you to rock bottom to show you that he is the rock at the bottom, is very relevant in everything. Because if you don't have a desire or a need for God and everything in your life is going the way it's supposed to, you would never search out God. You would never realize, hey, okay, I can't do this life thing on my own. And that's why it's truly a blessing if God chooses you to be gracefully broken. Even when you look at Job, and we talked about this with wrestling with God, God actually pointed out Job because he had so much faith that Job wasn't going to curse his name and he was still going to praise him, that he was like, try him. And he already knew that Job was going to get blessed double fold. So it's a lot of the time, we don't see the end result, but God does. He truly does. And so the suffering, the pain that we endure is all crucial in order for us to go through the growth, in order for us to have the testimony to go help the next person. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 reads, That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. When we ask in prayer to know God in fullness and in truth, we have to know the suffering. We have to know the pain. We have to. It's like, you can't get to know Jesus without knowing what he endured. We know that alongside, suffering refines us, but it also shows God's strength in the midst of our weakness. And sometimes we need to be made weak in order to show that we can't do it on our own. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7 reads, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." Sometimes God will allow the enemy to inflict you to remind you of who you are. Meaning that you are still in this fleshly body, that you still have these desires, that you need God's strength in order to overcome. Verse 9 reads, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's, again, going back to the whole thing, being saved by grace through faith. It's by God's grace that he gives us his strength in order to overcome the enemy. But we see here it says in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." And I have definitely been there, where there has been times where God has been blessing me with such revelation, wisdom, and knowledge that I thought I was holier than thou. When I was a babe in the faith, I'm not even going to lie to you guys, I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys, I had a pride issue. I just thought like, oh, I'm on the fast track, like, you know. And I'm not gonna be real, like, I really thought I was something I wasn't. Like, I really thought I was something. Whole time, I'm nothing. I am nothing more than just a vessel. And that's why God allowed me to backslide so bad when I did. Because now I'm like, okay, wow, like, it's really through God's grace. It's really through God's grace that I'm here right now on a podcast talking about Jesus, open about Jesus, don't care what nobody or their mama have to say about it. Like, that is strictly God's grace. And I'm so thankful that I had that stage where, you know, God was putting me on the fast track and giving me all these revelations and wisdom, and I reached that prideful point. And then that messenger of Satan to buffet me, it hit me. And that's when I realized, okay, God's grace is sufficient enough for me, that by his strength, I am now able to be where I'm at and give all glory unto Jesus. I take no glory. The platform, the podcast, the ministry, it's all him. It's all him. I am literally nothing without Jesus. I'm nothing. But again, so suffering and that spiritual warfare is a lot of the time used by God to refine us and mold us into who he needs us to be, by also understanding that it is not because of anything we do or because of who we are, it's because of who he is, that we are able to have his grace and his strength in order to endure in this world that's just so cold and so dark. And so a lot of the times he will humble us. I think it's in Deuteronomy. Hold on, let me find it. It's definitely in Deuteronomy. My sister actually sent me, she actually sent me that text regarding this, which is so true. Yes, it's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It says, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that the man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So yeah, the power of Christ ultimately rests on you when you go through situations where your flesh overtakes you, or you feel as though it's going to overtake you. But also don't understand, there is one type of people that God cannot resist at all. And we know that God resists the proud. So obviously it would have to be the complete opposite of the proud. And we see this in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth those of a contrite spirit." Because the Lord cannot resist the broken. And that's a whole other situation, but that's a lot of the time why children of God have this unction to try to fix broken people. You wonder and you ask yourself, why do you keep attracting broken people? It's because you're made in God's image that you have the desire to want to help broken people. But our problem is, out of a prideful state, we try to be God and try to be that, you know, that band-aid or that healer. Whole time, we can only point and direct them to God, which is why I got my heart broken so many times. Because with friends and with family, I would see their brokenness and they would see my light, and we would be like connected. And then I would try to be God and they don't. It was just a whole mess. But God had to do that to humble me, to show me like, hey, all you can do is plant the seed and pray for them from a distance. There's nothing that you can do to fully heal them, because God is the healer. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. So this is where God revealed unto me that I was suffering in the wrong way while wrestling with him. Because God can handle our feelings and emotions, but I was complaining way more than I was praising. And that's probably what's prolonged my season of being in this weird wilderness. And I was like, the Israelites. It's like, I know the story of the Israelites. I talk down on the Israelites all the time. We beat Israelites all the time. That's why it's like, we be talking down on Adam and Eve whole time. It's like, we beat Adam and Eve a lot of the time when we choose the world over Jesus, when we know better. Whole time, Adam and Eve didn't even know better, bro. They didn't even know better. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, read this. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if he, when he is buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. I believe this scripture, they were talking about like servants or like slaves, but it is still very, very relevant unto what we go through. We are not supposed to just be complaining unto God. God dwells in our praises, not our complaints. So when we complain, we're actually irking God. Like, God's like, bro, why are you complaining? Like, why are you complaining? It's so crazy. The other night, I was going cuckoo bananas. Like, warfare was insane. I was just going through a lot. And I'm just crying. I'm having a whole mess. And God's looking at me like, are you done? Like, it was like a two-year-old having a tantrum. He's like, are you done yet? And I was like, I don't even know why I'm acting like this. He's like, because you have been neglecting your time with me. And y'all saw my video on the whole first love thing. Like, that is real life. Like, for a while, I was doing things out of obligation and not out of love. And I brought up that example of like a married couple, of how a wife can do everything that she knows she's supposed to do, but when it's out of obligation and not in love, it's so much easier for there to be adultery committed or for there to be even divorce. And that's why when you don't do things out of love for Jesus and you feel like you're just doing all these things out of obligation, now your eyes start to wander to the world. Your eyes start to wander back to those vices because you're not feeling fulfilled by his love. You're doing all these things out of obedience, which is why in Revelations 2:4, Jesus says, nevertheless, I have this thing against you. You have left thy first love. He goes, repent and remember from which you have fallen. Because if you don't remember and you don't repent, you are just giving the enemy free rounds to just fill your head with intrusive thoughts and try to tempt you with the world. But when we suffer, we're supposed to do it patiently. You're supposed to endure, not in a place of grief. Like, for example, another form of suffering is literally fasting because you're killing, you're crucifying your flesh, right? And that's why Jesus says, don't be like the religious. Don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that go up by the temples and, oh, poor me, I'm fasting. You're supposed to do it with patience and endurance. People aren't supposed to know you're going through it. You're supposed to give glory unto God. And in that, that's how God will be closer unto you when you fast, is when you are still of a good place, a good positive heart, your heart posture is correct. But if you are doing it for men to feel sorry for you or for your reward to be for men, the Bible says that's all you're going to get. That's all you should expect to get. And so in order to suffer the right way, you should not complain. Complaining is the first big no. Because a lot of the time it's actually out of your pride that you feel as though you deserve something better. When whole time, we may not deserve what we're going through, but Jesus did not deserve dying on that cross for our sins while we were still sinners. That's true love. And so the least we could do, and I'm not saying it's easy, but the least we could do is show love back unto him through our obedience. Yes, but out of doing it, not out of obligation, but out of love. And when we suffer the right way, it actually allows God to have his way with us, and so that our fruit of the Holy Spirit can be tested. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, read this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So through faith, alongside the work that we put in to exemplify our faith, we have peace because of God, because of Jesus. And so that's how you have faith. That's how you have peace in the midst of suffering. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you remember who you serve. Because you have to remember the God that you serve can tell that storm, peace be still. And at an instant, it has to be. It has to obey the name of Jesus. And so I think a lot of the time we focus too much on the storm and not enough on Jesus. And the only way that you can have peace from the Prince of Peace is if you focus on the Prince of Peace and you keep on that helmet of salvation and know and understand that what we're going through right now is not end all be all. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the tribulations we go through, we should actually be happy because we know that patience is having its perfect work so that we want nothing. We desire nothing other than the will of God to be done, right? And through that experience, we gain hope to know and have that boldness and faith to be like, okay, when Jesus comes back, I've endured. I've done everything that I needed to do in the right way in Jesus' mighty name. So I know that when he comes back, I don't need to be nervous. I don't need to be scared. Alongside, I believe that the experiences that we go through, we can also share them with other people, and people that are going through it, they'll also be able to be like, okay, I'm not the only one going through this situation. I'm not the only one going through this hard time. They went through it and they got out of it. So I know that I have the faith that I can also get out of it through Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So we know that we are blessed as long as we endure patiently in temptation. And now every time I get temptation every time I overcome temptation, the Lord just fills me with such love. Like, I see how hard it is for you to choose me, even when it's like, it should be easy to choose Jesus. But God sees that. I know that God is a just God. Alongside, a way to suffer the right way is to also know and understand that he promises to be with us through it all. It gives us, it goes back to understanding God in a different light. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 reads, he will never leave nor forsake us, no matter what we do. We ultimately need to understand Romans 8, verse 18. This scripture gets me through any type of trial or tribulation. It reads, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It might not make sense now, but know and understand what you're going through now cannot compare to the glory of the Lord that will be revealed in your life later. Alongside, I love that saying where it's like, if you've hit rock bottom, the only place to go is up. You can't go back down. There's nowhere else to go. You already reached the lowest point. So the only way you can go is up. Even if it's 1% every day, you're moving up. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39 read, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if God loves us, we are not just suffering in vain. There is a purpose to our pain. That sounded a little good. Hold on. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, he promises and he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Again, my mind goes back to that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that God will ultimately see us through, that we are not just going through this in vain. Another key way in order to suffer correctly is to wait on the Lord. I cannot stress this enough. That's why that episode talking about worship while you wait is so crucial. While you wait, please pray. Do it. Just do it. If you have to force yourself, then force yourself. But I'm telling you, praise is such a key. Prayer is such a key. Reading the word, and I know it's like, okay, that's the answer to everything. Yes, it is. When I tell you my camera keeps dying, this is how you know. Will my technology be dying like this? I know the enemy don't want this to get out. Yes, so waiting on the Lord is absolutely crucial when going through suffering and enduring suffering the right way. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 reminds us, and it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. A lot of us have been in a season where the enemy is trying to get us to grow weary. And I talked a little bit about this as well, how the enemy is trying to get us to give up our testimony. Because if we give up our testimony, now our testimony won't be testifying about the blood of the Lamb. Our testimony testifies about the blood of the Lamb and how he's changed us so much to the point where we no longer indulge in things that we used to. We no longer desire the old things that we used to. We no longer carry ourselves the way that we used to. And that's ultimately the double fold of suffering. So in the suffering, God is trying to refine us. Whole time in the suffering, the enemy is trying to tempt us to go back to our old ways. But when we wait on the Lord, we need to praise. Praise is so, so, so crucial. And I have a little testimony about that, but I'll share that just now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 read this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We know that if we die to ourselves every single day, when Jesus comes back, we will rise up with him. And so that needs to be, that again is that helmet of salvation. That needs to be running through our mind. The word of God needs to be in our heart so that when we feel like it's too much to bear, we can eat the bread of the life. And we can also use the sword of the spirit against the enemy. It's actually so crazy because Jesus really is everything. He's the breath of life. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. It's the sword of the spirit. It's the shield of faith. It's literally everything. It's everything. And so now I'm going to talk to you guys about what I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast. And I said, if not you, then who? We're just gonna let the Holy Spirit flow real quick. And I talked a little bit about this earlier today, but I say, if not you, then who? Because God knows that it needs to be you that goes through the suffering to let the captives free. A lot of us don't understand why God has us in certain situations and circumstances, not realizing that we're gonna come out victorious, and God already knows that. But he knows that he had to put you through it so that you could go testify to your friends, you could go testify to your family, and they could see the glow and the grow in you. A lot of the time, the suffering is not only just for us to be refined, but for us to share the testimony of how God got us through. And our testimony is going to help change and shape the lives of many around us. If not you, then who? The Lord knows that if maybe he put your mom through that, if he put your sister through that, if he put your brother or friend through that, they wouldn't come out victorious. But because of your relationship with Jesus, you are like a Job. He knows that you would not curse him. You would not run back into that sin. And I want to encourage you, even if you do find yourself in a place of struggling, of balancing the world in him, I want you to make that conscious decision today to choose Jesus. But I also want to encourage you and let you know that you can't do it unless you really rely on him. You need to be in his presence every single day in order to fight this warfare, in order to fight this suffering, so that you would know that there truly is purpose in the pain. We're not going through this in vain. You're not going through this for no reason. And I also brought up how some of us might feel as though we were like Joseph. We got a taste of the palace. We got a taste of the calling that God has for us. And while refusing to indulge in temptation, we find ourselves in prison. Let me tell you. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I was going through a season of where I was going through the motions. I was just doing things out of obligation and not love. And that's why I talked a little bit about, you know, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, because that's something God imprinted in my heart. And he also revealed that it's a lot of the body, that a lot of the body is being obedient unto God, but they're lacking their first love. And when they lack their first love, it's a lot easier for you to grow weary. The Bible tells us in Galatians to not grow weary because God will not be mocked. You will ultimately reap what you've been sowing if you do not faint. And so the enemy is trying to get us to faint. But again, going back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "They shall walk and not faint." God is trying to teach us how to walk with him. But on this walk with him, we are going to endure the same things that he does. And when you look at how Jesus dealt with the suffering, he prayed. He praised. He often took time to himself, especially if God has been calling you to minister unto your friends and your family, and you feel as though it's like really draining. You need to look at Jesus. Jesus often took time away from the multitude. No, he did not forsake the fellowship. He was around the disciples. He was still preaching and teaching, but he often would wake up as early as he needed to make sure that he got that alone time with the Father. And so my testimony, so literally, I want to say it was like last night. And it's crazy because I was trying to post this podcast sometime like within the week. Like this week, the weekdays, but I couldn't find my iPad pen, and I write like all my notes on my, y'all can't even see it, can y'all see it? I write like all my notes on my iPad, and as I was cleaning last night, I found my pen, glory be to God. But a little testimony, I was like trying to look for a bunch of things, and I found them all in the same place. And so as I'm beginning to write out, you know, the script for this podcast, not even the script, but like the scriptures and stuff, the Holy Spirit just gave me this unction to just start praising. And if y'all know, if y'all watch any of my lives, I put on like William Augusto, which is like, it's called like Soaking in His Presence. It's like instrumental. And I put it on, and I didn't even put it on actually. I said, "Hey Siri, put on William Augusto." And the song, because Siri was really about to tweak out, but the song that she put on, or my phone put on, it wasn't a song that was in my playlist. It was called Welcome Jesus. And I was like, okay, cool. And I think it's really interesting that that song played, because when I looked at it today, it was like the sixth album. And I put it on, and I kid you not, I just started praising. And I started resting in his presence and truly like talking to him, like being intimate with him, telling him like, Lord, like, I'm so sorry. I've been complaining so much. You are so good. Just literally letting God know how good he is. He already knows how good he is, but I was just in that moment. And I kid you not, it gave like Acts 4, like I'm praying for boldness. I'm praying for all these things. And a fresh fire came upon me to the point where it was like 2:30 in the morning. And I'm screaming like, I love you, Jesus. Like, I'm screaming it. Like, I felt it in my bones. It was like this unction that was shut up for so long. And God just instilled this fresh fire, this fresh refilling. Even just talking about it, I felt a fire of the Holy Ghost. But yeah, praise, prayer, alone time with God is so crucial. Back to that TikTok video I mentioned. We're in the type of warfare. We're in the days and stages where if you do not spend alone time with God, you are gonna feel crazy. Like, your spirit's gonna be like crying out. Because it's like, if Jesus is the breath of life, if God is the breath of life, imagine trying to not breathe for a full day. You're gonna die. Imagine trying to not drink water or eat food for a whole day unless you're fasting. Like, you be killing your flesh. But if you refrain from eating the bread of life and you refrain from drinking the living water, you're actually killing your spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. And so I want to finish with this, okay? It revolves around the if not you, then who, but it also revolves around there being purpose in your pain. And it's found in Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 34. I guess you could say this is like a little Bible study. So it starts on verse 22. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them." This is Paul and Silas after they've been preaching the good news. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them," remember, Jesus also had stripes, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Notice, when you are working for the kingdom of God, you are going to have multitudes rising up against you. They will be praying and paying on your downfall, which is why not only did they beat them, they stripped them naked, and they beat them with stripes. Right? Your life is going to embody what Jesus went through, especially when you're a follower of Christ. It said they cast them into the prison, and because that jailer had so much funds from the command of keeping them, he cast them in the inner part of the prison and put shackles around their feet. But this is the key. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." No one understand that your praise, your prayer in the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the storm, is going to allow people to hear the word of God, which what instills a seed of faith in them, because we know that faith comes from hearing the word of God. This is for somebody right here. It says, "And suddenly," God is getting ready to move suddenly. It says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed." Because of Paul and Silas's praise and prayer, it not only freed them from the foundations of the prison, it freed the people around them. Your praise, your prayer is going to affect those around you as well. And that is also the purpose in the pain. You're not just going through that pain for just you. You're going through that pain for the purpose of you and your family. A lot of the time, God is also allowing suffering in this season because he's revealing unto us certain strongholds in our mind, which I mentioned in the last episode. But notice it says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken." God is getting ready to shake up the foundations of your mind, the strongholds of your mind. Again, everyone's bands were loosed. And it says, "Immediately all the doors were open." Doors are getting ready to open for the body of Christ. We just need to endure for a little longer. We need to suffer patiently and give glory unto God, because glory is always due unto him. It says, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." Two things I got from this. One, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep." Your testimony might wake somebody out of their slumber in the world. Some of our friends and some of our family are still asleep in the world. But your testimony, your praise, your prayer is going to wake somebody else up. But notice, sometimes what happens is it's a lot, it's too much, and people are ready to throw in the towel. They're either ready to give up on their walk or even give up on their life. But look what happens next. It says, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." I think that speaks volumes, because I feel like Paul is playing a part where he's like, yo, we've been there. We're right here. You are not alone. We are here for you. And so sometimes you have to go through that situation, that circumstance, so somebody else that's going through it that feels like nobody can relate to them, you can be that person and be like, hey, we're here. You don't have to do that. You don't have to give up. We are right here. It says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's not just you, it's the people around you. They said, you and your house. Child, this is like the fifth time my camera temperature has tweaked, but that just proves that the enemy don't want this out. It says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straight away. He washed their stripes. A lot of the time, the healing that we are looking for is actually doing what God has called us to do. And I say this because if you guys have been on any of my Zoom calls, I've talked about how like I've been really tired lately. And the only thing that really brought me joy was doing the Lord's work. Even if I didn't want to get on the Zoom call, the moment I got on the Zoom call and I saw everyone's face and we just fellowshipped, I felt so much peace. And a lot of the time, y'all be ministering unto my spirit. And that's why fellowship is so crucial and so important. And God ultimately knows what's best for us. So the healing that we're looking for, that pain, the pain you went through, when you are able to share it with somebody and you're able to help them go through it, to grow through what they go through, like nothing can compare to that. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted to leave y'all with. Definitely read Acts chapter 16, verses 22 through 34 by yourself, because this was a gem. But, yeah, y'all, there is really purpose in your pain. We are not going through these things for no reason. We are not going through them in vain. And all our strength that we're looking for is in Jesus. We just got to consistently endure. And I'm telling you guys, there is a reason why this warfare is ramping up. That's how you know how close breakthrough is. And I know breakthrough, we've been hearing the word breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough since like March. But I'm telling you guys, there is a reason why the enemy is pulling out all these tricks and things to try to get us to fold. Because he knows that it's closer than we think. And so if we just consistently keep our eyes on the first love, which is Jesus, not only will we reap what we've been sowing, but we will have a new understanding and revelation of who Jesus is. And then everything else that comes will just be extra. Like, we won't even be looking for the blessings or the breakthrough, but the blessing is actually in falling back in love with Jesus. And so if you've been going through a season of suffering, I just pray even now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, that you would give them comfort that only you could give. Holy Spirit, that you would be their peace in the midst of the storm, oh God. And I just thank you, oh Lord, in advance for the breakthrough that's not only happening in my life, but in every single person that's watching this. In Jesus' name, oh God, we thank you and we pray. Amen. God is so good, you guys. I kid you not, before like I made this video, like this past week was rough. It was really rough. But God is a faithful God. He is so patient. I was complaining so much, you guys. But I kid you not, my mindset these past two couple of days, like, I've been praising and I've been making time for Jesus, like for real, for real. And it doesn't feel like a chore anymore. It doesn't. But yeah, also, I just feel it in my spirit. Somebody's been asking for confirmation about fasting. You need to go fast. You've been pushing it off for a minute now. You need to stop pushing it off. You need to go fast. I've gotten confirmation about that like 3 times. And I thought it was just for me. No, it's for somebody who's watching on here that's been asking God for confirmation. This is your confirmation to go fast and go spend some time with Jesus. Especially in the midst of the warfare you've been going through, child. Because, But I love you guys. Again, thank you guys for all the support. Go follow all the Instagrams. A lot of you guys have been asking how to get access to the Zoom calls and the lives and stuff. Follow the Instagram at All Things New Ministries with 2 S's. Follow my personal Instagram at Rachel Niles. And the website is also going to be out by next week. So if you guys are looking to invest in your spiritual life, all the lives and stuff will be available there. There'll be exclusive podcasts, one-on-one calls, things like that. I'm very excited. All glory to God. Again, I'm just super excited for this summer and just for this warfare season to be over. We know that the suffering, we're going to go through constant suffering, but this warfare, y'all know it's been a lot. So again, thank you guys for all the support up to thus far. And I will see you guys next time. Bye.